Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m. and you are tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio are a number of individuals associated with Braveheart Volunteers. Braveheart Volunteers is offering an advanced directive workshop over the next 2 weeks at the Pioneers Home Manager's House. Chris Ann Rice is here. She's office manager at Braveheart. Claudia Lassess, who is a social worker at the Sitka Pioneers Home, is volunteering her time to talk about advanced directives. And Cindy Gibson is volunteering her time to talk about financial planning. Welcome to Morning Edition, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Well, so we're talking about advanced directives. Would somebody like to jump in and explain what exactly that is? Claudia?
Okay, yeah, this is Claudia. Advanced directives is an opportunity to get down in writing what your wishes are that hopefully would reflect your values and beliefs in regards to end-of-life care. So anything from assigning someone power of attorney to make decisions on your behalf to completing a living will where you can have all of your wishes written down, and that could be in regards to pretty much anything, whether you do or don't want medications, whether you do or don't want a ventilator, whether you do or don't want tube feeding, a variety of different things that crop up, even to the extent of antibiotics and things like that. So you can make all manner of decisions in relation to end-of-life care. Decisions can also be made about whether you do or don't want cardiopulmonary resuscitations in the form of a do not intubate or do not resuscitate order. And these are for everybody, really, because you never know when you could have a catastrophic accident. So it's not something you want to just wait until you have an illness pending or something like that. It's something anybody at any age above 18 can accomplish. And it's simple to do, but it just takes some forethought and the willingness to carry on that discussion and really look inward and kind of reflect upon what your values are, what your wishes would be, you know, what you want for pain management, what you want in those kind of circumstances.
Claudia, in your work as a social worker, have you seen what can happen when individuals and families don't have those conversations?
Absolutely. Folks end up, the families really have to struggle to figure out what that person would have wanted. Oftentimes, there's nobody assigned to make a decision, so you have to do an emergency petition for guardianship in the courthouse. It's, you know, you can do it rather rapidly, but nevertheless, it's a very troubling process for people to have to go through that and have a court assign someone rather than knowing for sure who that person would have wanted to make their decisions for them and what those decisions really would be. So it's a real challenge. I've seen a lot of different situations over the years as a social worker where folks struggle and they're never sure that what they decided was exactly what that person wanted.
It's a distressing time in and of itself. It seems that having to deal with these issues out of left field would compound the emotional turmoil that families feel.
Completely. It's very good to get this stuff done when there is no health issue pending, when there's no stress pending, and you can actually contemplate your beliefs, your value system, and get the things that you want done or don't want done written down, because you can give informed consent to have treatments or to not have treatments. So if you have a value that, you know, do everything at all costs to save my life, then you can get that in writing. If your value system is keep me comfortable and don't do any heroics, then you can have that written down. So people really do have a lot of choices in these matters. But if it's not written down, their choices are no longer considered. You know, their values are not considered unless they've shared that with somebody else who then happens to be in a position of power to make that decision for them.
Chris Ann, what is the intention behind these two workshops? What is Braveheart hoping to accomplish?
We're hoping to make this available to the public, and even for myself. It's not just designed for people who have elderly, say, parents here in town. I think we often think of, I do, end of life as an elder, but who's living nearby. My personal example, my parents are in Phoenix. My father is in early stages of Alzheimer's. My siblings, five of us, six total, are all over the place, from Alaska to Florida to New York. And it is a mess right now because things are not in place, or at least we don't know that. And I'm hoping to go to inform myself, to gather information so that we can try and coax my parents to get these things in order, or we will be dealing with a crisis. We know we will be anyway, but we hope it's not the number 10 crisis, but maybe a 7.5.
So these workshops will convey not only, you know, concrete information about advanced directives, financial planning, which we'll mm-hmm. get to in a minute, Cindy, but also strategies mm-hmm. for starting these conversations?
I think to some degree, yes. Mm-hmm. And I think our intent is to give some, in some ways, some black and white information to maybe start the conversations, because I think when we get into talking about end of life, it's very difficult. We live in a culture that doesn't do that very well, in my personal opinion. And using this these tools to open the subject or continue the subject with loved ones is important.
Cindy, you come in on the financial side of things. You're a financial mm-hmm. planner, and you're donating your time to help folks figure out, you know, what they need to do to prepare financially in the case of death. What does that involve?
Sure. Well, gosh, where do I start? there's so much entailed in the financial side of things, because it's not just your, like, your bank account, but it could be how is your property titled, you know, how are your personal possessions distributed, those types of things. And I help counsel people on whether they should go talk with a social worker, or whether they should go talk with an attorney, and those types of things. Because a lot of times you can have, you know, your parents, they're getting older, or yourself, you're getting older, and you're feeling like, gosh, I'm not really keeping track of my finances as I should. And there's so much that will be needed to pass on, maybe even while you're still alive, for other people to handle for you, whether it's paying your bills, balancing your checkbook, or just making sure that your investments are properly allocated for your, you know, situation. And so there's so much that you can do before you die to make it easier, and it's all free. There's a lot of things that you can do just with paperwork. If you know the right forms that you need to fill out, there's a lot of paperwork involved. And if you do some of that before the person passes on, it makes it tremendously more easy for the beneficiaries at the time of your passing to then carry forth and carry on with your wishes that you are hoping to have happen.
You know, what about for those folks who say, well, you know, I really don't have many assets?
Well, even if you have just a shoebox full of things, those are your assets. So even if you have a small bank account or just personal effects, it's still good to have a conversation with the people that you want to pass those small things on to. I've seen families split up over literally a small room full of things from a Pioneer Home resident. And it wasn't because they really wanted the things. It had a lot more to do with emotional feelings around losing a sibling. And that was really more what it was. But had that sibling done some things, maybe written their brothers and sisters' names on the different items in his room, or written out a little note to them saying what he wanted to have happen with his stuff if he were to die before them. Just something as simple as that. And that's free. Anybody can do that. It goes a long way to creating peace and harmony within the family after you pass.
So it seems that all three of you are talking about eliminating ambiguity in different regards to this process. It seems to me that likely one of the greatest stumbling blocks for getting people in the doors for this workshop is, gosh, it's just so uncomfortable to talk about death, our death, or the death of those we love. How do you propose to help people cross the threshold?
Well, I would think that if folks realize that they can really get this done and then set it aside and have that peace of mind, knowing that they've made the decisions, they've really contemplated the issues that are going to surface at some point in everyone's life. Most people say, I would like to just, you know, die quickly and be done with it. That does not occur for most of us. And so being able to address those issues when someone is younger, when they're really clear thinking, competent to make those decisions, and more emotionally stable is much better than waiting until you're wrapped up in a stressful emotional situation. And so I think for folks to really look inward and say, wow, I could get this done. I could write down my wishes. I could really take care of this stuff and have my wishes in writing and have somebody designated to take care of my finances, my healthcare decisions and everything. It really does make a lot of sense. I did mine over 20 years ago. So, you know, really, it makes a lot of sense to have that done. I don't have to think twice about it because it's done. Mm-hmm. And the thing is if you change your mind later on, you can always redo it. A new one supersedes the old one. So you can always change your mind about powers of attorneys, about any advance directives, and be sure that your wishes, even if they change, are still respected.
Yeah, and I always like to put a positive spin on things. I mean, the fact is we all are going to die. That's a part of, you know, reality. And so, but what we do with our lives and how we pass on a legacy to our beneficiaries, our heirs, our community, whatever, and even if it isn't monetarily a legacy, it's still a legacy in what we leave behind and how we pass that on. And if we can do that with intention and clarity versus ambiguity and confusion, I think that's a lot more positive way to approach it. So I think, you know, if you think of it that way, you can maybe grapple with your personal inner feelings, as Claudia said, about death.
And for me, in thinking of my parents, I want to be respectful of their wishes. And right now, I might kind of guess what they might be, but I don't really know. So for me, it's really about respecting.